Now it is the time, lucky, thank goodness. Rachel Reeves is a Labour MP for Leeds West and was a member of Ed Miliband's shadow cabinet from 2013 to 2015. She's also the author of a new book about the women of Westminster. It's great to have you on the show, Rachel.
Great to talk to you.
So in the past 100 years, a total of 491 women have been elected to Parliament, yet it was not until a few years ago, 2016, that the total number of women ever elected surpassed male MPs in a single Parliament. I can't believe that was only 4 years ago.
Yes, and I mean, even today, only a third of MPs are women. But there's been a huge change just in my lifetime. When I was born, just over 40 years ago, there were just 19 women in Parliament. Today, almost 220 MPs in Parliament are women. So we've seen a huge change just in my lifetime. But yeah, the numbers are still pretty stark, and there are still lots of jobs. Particularly Chancellor of the Exchequer, that have never been held by a woman.
Mm. And as we mentioned, it's 100 years, so we go right back to 1919 and start with Nancy Astor.
Yes, so in 2018, in February 1918, some but all, but not all women won the right to vote for the first time. And later that year, there was a general election. And 6 weeks before the election, a very short Act of Parliament was passed, which enabled women to stand in that election. So in 1918, women stood for candidates for the first time. But because it was only 6 weeks before the election that legislation was passed, most of the parties already had their candidates in place, so it was very difficult for a woman to be selected or elected in the election that year. And indeed, only one woman was successful, and that was Constance Markievicz. But because she was standing for the Sinn Féin party, as is the tradition for that party, she didn't take her seat in the House of Commons. She was also in prison for high treason at the time, so even if she had wanted to take her seat, it might have been a little bit tricky. And it wasn't until a year later, in 1919, that the first woman, Nancy Astor, took her seat in Parliament.
Wow. It just doesn't seem that long ago, does it, really?
No, and it was very, you know, when I was writing my book, Women of Westminster, I often tried to put myself in Nancy Astor's shoes and imagine what it must have been like for her, just one woman out of 650 MPs. And she once said that pioneers are picturesque figures, but they're often very lonely ones. Mm. And I think that was very much her experience for almost 2 years, being the only woman in the House of Commons.
Yes, I'm sure. And you also go through Barbara Castle's fight for equal pay.
I think that Barbara Castle probably, for me, is the most iconic of all the women I speak about and write about in my book, and the one who I would point out to being my real heroine of the story. And so much legislation that directly affected our lives as women, even today, were first brought in by Barbara Castle, and equal pay, obviously, is a standout of that. And the Equal Pay Act of 1970, so 50 years ago this year, really begun to transform the lives of women at work, and particularly for low-paid women. And she said that this legislation was first and foremost about low-paid women who had very little voice and very little chance to change their experiences and their earning power. And it came about in large part because of the strike at the Dagenham Ford Works in East London, where the machinists, the women machinists at that factory, went on strike about their grading. Their grade was the grade of an unskilled worker, and they argued that they had very high skills doing their jobs, but because they were women, their work was treated and paid as if it was unskilled. And so they went on strike. Barbara Castle called them in to her office on Whitehall to meet them, and that's where the Equal Pay Act really came from. But it was also one of those things that women in Parliament pretty much ever since they first took their seats, had been campaigning on. And during the 1930s and 1940s, even during the course of the Second World War, women MPs from across the political spectrum, including Edith Summerskill for Labour and Thelma Kastelic-Kia for the Conservative Party, had been campaigning and raising the issues of equal pay. But it took Barbara Castle in government in the 1960s and into the 70s to get it on the statute books and to begin to transform the lives of women at work. It's still true to say that women don't have equal pay today. There is still a gender pay gap where on average men are paid something like 15% more than women. But back in 1970, a full-time male industrial worker was paid twice that a woman was paid.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way in the last 50 years. Long way in the last 100 years, but there's still battles to be fought.
Yeah, and that's where Harriet Harman picked up the reins, isn't it, about the gender pay gap?
Yes, well, Harriet Harman, in the equalities legislation, one of the last acts of Parliament passed in 2010, just before Labour lost office at that 2010 general election, was to require firms employing more than 250 people to publish a gender pay audit. And that has really shone a light on some of the pay gaps in individual firms, particularly some banking firms, also airlines, for example, some technology firms having very high pay gaps. And in some cases, although not all, it's encouraging businesses to look at how they work and why it is that women aren't reaching the top jobs or getting the pay commensurate with the work they're doing. So those gender pay gaps, as you say, taking forward Barbara Castle's work and Harriet Harman and then Jo Swinson for the Liberal Democrats have been you know, really key in ensuring that that was taken forward.
Yeah.
And in the last 10 years, really, those gender pay gaps have only been published for a couple of years, but I do think they make a difference.
Yes, yes, indeed, so do I. And most of the women's names are recognised, but there are a couple that are lesser known. Who was Florence Horserow?
Florence Horserow was the first Conservative woman to take her seat in the cabinet. The first two women to serve in the British cabinet were Margaret Bonfield in 1929 and then Ellen Wilkinson in 1945. And then when Labour lost in 1951 to the Conservatives and Churchill was Prime Minister again, he appointed Florence Horserow to be his Minister for Education with a seat at the cabinet. And so she was the first Conservative woman. And actually, when I wrote my book, I didn't know very much about Florence Horserow, and I was really pleased that I spoke at an event in central London, and a woman turned up whose surname was also Horserow and was a relative of Florence Horserow, and it was a real privilege, and it has been actually since writing this book, to meet people who are the descendants of some of these remarkable women who I wrote about.
Yes, I'm sure it must be. And Mavis Tate, she's something to do with pensions.
Mavis Tate and Irene Ward, both of them campaigned for equal pay during the 1930s and 40s. They set up something called the Equal Pay Campaign Committee, jointly with Thelma Kastelic-Kia and Edith Summerskill. And Thelma Kastelic-Kia actually tabled an amendment to government legislation. It was the only vote in Parliament that Winston Churchill lost during the wartime coalition, and it was on equal pay. Now, he then asked Parliament to vote again and made it a vote of confidence, which he then won. But it was an issue very close to the hearts of not just Labour women, and Barbara Castle was obviously a Labour heroine, but there were Conservative women, including Mavis Tate, who were campaigning early on for equal pay and also equal compensation in the case of injuries during the war. During the Second World War, if a man suffered an injury and a loss of a limb, for example, they would get paid a higher level of compensation compared with a man, and the view being that because men's earnings potential was higher than a woman's, a loss of a limb mattered more to a man than it did for a woman. And Mavis Tate with Irene Ward was two of the women who campaigned to get that changed, and that a woman's body and injuries mattered just as much as those of a man.
Oh dear, but nobody realised that until she said.
Indeed, indeed. And it seemed perfectly rational and for the men that that would be the case. And I think that was one of the interesting things and one of the themes really in my book, that having women in Parliament and women at the cabinet table just changed the sorts of things that got discussed and debated. There's no reason why men in Parliament couldn't have campaigned for equal pay or child benefits to be paid to the mother, or campaigned on issues of domestic violence. But they didn't. It wasn't until women took their seats in Parliament that these issues became political issues and got on the political agenda. So having women in Parliament, I think, has improved the lives of women across the country. And I think that's a global thing. This is about every country in the world. As parliaments have become more representative of the communities and the people that we say we serve, I think that there's put issues on the table that otherwise would have been neglected.
Yeah.
The truth is, if you've got a House of Parliament or any legislature which constitutes essentially white, middle and upper class men, then you're not going to have decisions that reflect the priorities of everybody in the country. Mm. And that's just one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we have a more diverse parliament. And in my book, I talk about more women in parliament, but exactly the same arguments can be made for why it's important to have more MPs from black and minority ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. For example. And certainly we're seeing that around the world today, that black and minority ethnic MPs in parliaments around the world are raising issues of concern after what we've seen in America these last few weeks.
Oof, yes, it's been a bit tough, hasn't it, the last couple of weeks?
Yep.
Well, it's good that it's all changed. Thank you for telling us about it, Rachel. Women of Westminster tells the story of the female MPs who shaped Parliament and the country. Thank goodness Britain has now had two female prime ministers, and women MPs have made significant strides in fighting for gender equality. If you want to buy the book, it is out now. It's called Women of Westminster, The MPs Who Changed Politics, and it's by Rachel Reeves, who we're chatting to. Thank you very much for being on the show with us today, Rachel.
It's been lovely talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.